Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Cowboy Favorites by Clint Eastwood. The original release was on Cameo Records in 1962, catalog number C1056. Our copy is a 2010 re-release by Real Gone Music, RGM 0435.
So we picked up this album fairly recently at, it wasn't this year's Record Store Day release, but we picked it up at this year's Record Store Day. But I've been familiar with this album for some time after having watched the series Rawhide. And so when I saw it in the crate there, I thought it would be something good to pick up. So Felicity, do you want to tell us a little bit about what this album looks like?
Yeah, so it has a good old Clint Eastwood leaning against a tree looking skyward rather pensively, wearing a standard cowboy attire, although he's not wearing a hat. He is wearing one of those plaid cowboy shirts, a leather vest, looks like maybe a gun belt, like a holster, and a blue bandana around his neck. And then to the right, there's this other side panel that looks kind of like those parchments that they staple to trees and saloon doors in Western movies. It says Rawhide's Clint Eastwood. It's got that is framed by some guns in this like sort of saloony sort of font. Sings Cowboy Favorites. It's got a track listing and then a little logo of a horse and carriage. And then on the back, again, it's got like that sort of standard saloon kind of typeface, Cowboy Favorites, Clint Eastwood. A track listing with the songwriters on it and a little sort of promo blurb about Clint Eastwood and the songs on the album.
You know what that typeface on the back reminds me of, Flissy? That program Print Shop. Did you have that?
Oh, yes.
I think that was like one of the typefaces that you could print out banners on.
Or yeah. I spent many a day printing long banners of various things, happy birthday signs and such, and then coloring them in with markers.
I wonder what people do now. I mean, I guess they don't do it, but like you don't have that dot matrix printer paper that's like just one long sheet, you know, that it's like perforated. Now you have just separate sheets. I guess you'd have to like tape them together or something if you want to do something.
Like a bunting.
Anyway. So should we get to our first clip, Flissy?
Yes. What did you pick?
Well, I picked the first track off side A. It is called Bouquet of Roses. So let's take a listen.
I'm sending you a big bouquet of roses, one for every time you broke my heart, and as the door there's nothing left to do, so I'm sending you a big bouquet of roses, one for every time you broke my heart.
All right, Felicity, what'd you think about this pick?
I would say like this is a nice kind of quintessential Hollywood cowboy sound in this song. And then my other comment about this is that it demonstrates that Hollywood cowboys are not above being sentimental. Like, yes, there are like guns and hard days on the range, but they still will buy bouquet of roses for their ladies and cry about it. And the other thing that I think about this is I feel like this is a little bit more maudlin than Eddie Arnold's version of this song, And I was also listening to Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History podcast last week while I was traveling, and there is one of his recent episodes is about country songs and why our country songs like make people cry. And it's because, like, his theory is that it's because they're very specific. But I really don't find this song particularly specific. I think this is in the, like, sort of general sentimentality and sort of, like, a little bit cliche sadness. There's not any particular details about, you know, this particular relationship.
Yeah, just that, I guess, she was cheating and he's going to give her rose for each time she broke his heart or something.
Yeah, it sounds like quite a lot of cheating if it's enough to make a bouquet.
But I guess finally he's had enough and can't deal. So I don't know. Yeah, I like this song because I feel like it is they like pull out all of the stops for making this song like sound like a cowboy song. I guess it's got like the slide guitar. It's got some harmonica in there. You know, I just feel like I'm just sitting by a campfire. I can like feel it, you know, feel it crackling there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, I think Clint Eastwood's singing is probably, this is one of the, his better vocals on the album. So I think he does a pretty good job here.
Yeah, agreed.
So I'm sure that everybody who's in our audience is familiar with Clint Eastwood, but maybe not about this phase of his career, Felicity. So do you want to tell us a little bit about early Clint Eastwood?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess maybe I should mention, in case maybe you're from another planet or something, that Clint Eastwood is perhaps the most famous cowboy actor. Well, maybe perhaps he's number two behind John Wayne, right? Anyway, he's a super famous guy. Notably, he was a star in the Dollars trilogy, the Spaghetti Western series by Sergio Leone, in the Dirty Harry movies. He's also the director of Million Dollar Baby and other films, and also famously addressed an empty chair at the recent Republican National Convention.
I guess that was, what, 2012?
It was back then somewhere, yeah. He was born May 31st, 1930. I always remember that because we share a birthday. Apparently he was quite the troublemaker in high school, and it seems questionable like whether or not he graduated from high school. And then he worked some odd jobs and eventually was drafted in the Korean War into the army. And he was scouted by Universal in 1954. I guess, like, somebody saw him and was mostly like, whoa, that guy's tall. And that was enough for, like, him to get an audition. And he apparently wasn't particularly good at the time. He had no experience, so he was kind of amateurish and stiff.
Nor really, like, after that either. I mean, I think he just got roles where being kind of stiff and emotionless was
it just worked for him. Yeah. But apparently he did take some drama classes, and they, you know, he eventually like his next kind of big role after playing bit parts for this contract he had for Universal was in 1958. He was cast as Rowdy Yates on Rawhide. And so this album that we're featuring today is a album that was produced as a promotional thing for the show in 1962. So this is like kind of halfway through Rawhide's run. It was on from 1958 to 1965. And this was like a really hardworking time for Clint Eastwood. He was working 6 days a week, filming 12 or more hours per day. And still, like, even though he was super hardworking at the time, the directors and other critics were like, this guy is, like, he needs to be working harder. So I don't think he had, like, a super great experience working on that show. I know you're a fan. Do you have any more information about that?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to see Clint Eastwood in a slightly more, I mean, well, like, being young and, like, you know, I mean, he's playing, like, an inexperienced character on the show also. And, I mean, he's kind of, I don't know, what is the word I'm looking for? don't know, not exactly spontaneous, but like, you know, impetuous, I guess, maybe. Mm-hmm. And seeing him in a slightly different take on a, you know, a sort of cowboyish role than he is in like the Man with No Name sort of movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, mainly the reason that I like Rawhide is for Eric Fleming, who is like maybe comes in second in terms of my masculine ideas.
Right behind James Garner.
Exactly. And it's, I don't know, I mean, it's a shame. This isn't a show about Eric Fleming, but he sort of died in a tragic accident sort of right towards the end of the run of Rawhide. Hmm. And I feel like it's a real shame that, you know, I think he could have had a really good career.
Hmm. So I guess while he was working on Rawhide, Clint Eastwood did direct some trailers to promote the show, but he couldn't convince the producers of the show to direct an episode. And then like eventually the Rawhide show, it kind of wound down, and Eric Fleming was actually lined up to, he was invited by Sergio Leone to be in the Fistful of Dollars. He turned it down and recommended Eastwood for that gig. And so the rest, they say, is history, right? What I could find about Clint Eastwood's interest in music is that he is a pianist and longtime music enthusiast, especially interested in jazz and bebop and also country and Western music. And even though he didn't go to school for music, to my knowledge, he still got an honorary degree from Berkeley in music. I think it's so funny that like he's presented with all of these like honorary degrees now that he's super duper famous. And I, as far as I can tell, he didn't even finish high school. He owns this label Malpasso Records on Time Warner, and he composed the score for a bunch of his movies, including Million Dollar Baby. And he also did a performance in 1997 at Carnegie Hall, and there is a CD set available of that performance called Eastwood After Hours, and there he plays some and sings some of the songs from the movies that he scored, and also invited a bunch of jazz musicians to be a part of that performance.
So we're gonna definitely have to check out that album.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess this album, the fact that Clint Eastwood sings these cowboy songs, I think it might seem a little unexpected. But if you watch the series Rawhide, or if you're a fan of the series, there is in fact an episode in the series where Clint Eastwood sings as part of one of the you know, the plots in the story. So that episode is called The Pitch Wagon, and we'll have a clip of that in our show notes. So Felicity, do you want to tell us about your clip?
Yeah, I picked the third track on side one, and it's called The Last Roundup.
All right, let's take a listen.
I'm heading for the last roundup. Gonna saddle old paint for the last time and ride. So long, old pal, it's time you.
I was just going to ask you what you think.
So I think that this is a good pick because, I don't know, aside, I guess, from my pick, which I think was one of the strong selections on the album due to it being my pick, I think that this is a good track also. And one of the things I particularly like about it is sort of like the shuffle sound mm-hmm. to it. And I think we both have a little dance that we like to do to this song as a result of that. But, you know, I also like the lyrics, and this is kind of a fun song. And I guess apparently this song is written by Billy Hill in 1933, who was, I guess, pretty well known for writing, you know, various cowboy songs. And this song was, I guess, made popular by the likes of Guy Lombardo, and I guess it was also sung by Bing Crosby. And I guess we also listened to a Gene Autry version of this, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I like Gene Autry's version too.
What do you think, Blissey?
Why yeah. Did you pick it? So I think like all of the tracks on this album, like we mentioned in your pick, have this like really quintessential Hollywood cowboy sound, like I would say like kind of 30s, 40s, 50s cowboy sound. It's got the slide guitar, it's got a harmonica, the rhythm guitar, it's got a little snare drum. And like, I really appreciate the simplicity of the arrangements in this song and really throughout the album. But the reason why I picked it is because of the Get Along Little Doggies line. I just love that. And that's like, talking about quintessential cowboy, like that is, I think, the quintessential cowboy phrase.
But why? I don't understand why you like Get Along Little Doggies. But when I refer to cows as beeves in the style of Rawhide, you don't like that.
Because it's objectifying them. You don't want to talk about cows like they're like the future of them is meat.
They do talk about them also in the show sometimes as sides of beef, which is like pretty sad. It's like they're literally
like
just
literal.
Yeah, they're just literally talking about them as the future meat product that they will be.
Poor little cow friends.
But I don't know. Like, I think it's okay to call them beeves.
It is kind of cute. Like, if you don't think about it being actual meat. Okay. Anyway, doggies or dogies. I didn't really know the history of this word, so I looked it up in the dictionary. And so this is from the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 5th edition. In the language of the American West, a stray or motherless calf is known as a dogie. The origin of this word remains uncertain, but Ramon F. Adams, the author of numerous works on Western Americana and a cowboy himself, offered one possible etymology for dogie in his book Western Words. During the 1880s, when a series of harsh winters left large numbers of orphaned calves, the little calves, weaned too early, were unable to digest coarse range grass, and their swollen bellies very much resembled a batch of sourdough carried in a sack. Such a calf was referred to as doe guts. The term, altered to dogie, according to Adams, has been used ever since throughout the cattle land to refer to a pot-gutted orphan calf. Another possibility is that dogie is an alteration of Spanish dogal, lariat. Still another is that it's simply a variant pronunciation of doggy. And then I also read somewhere else on the interwebs that they would feed these malnourished baby calves a paste of dough and water to fatten them up. So seems like a very mysterious history, but I don't know, it's something. Doggy. It's a cute word either way.
Beeves.
Get along, little doggy. Get... What? kind of sad.
So what did you think of this album overall, Felicity? I mean, what's worse, that them being future meat or them being like malnourished and having like distended bellies?
Either way, it's sad. And also this song is sad because he's talking about like how he's a washed up old cowboy and he's going to the last roundup in the sky. It's a sad song.
So what did you think of this album overall, Felicity?
I mean, I think this is very true to the title. It is a compilation of cowboy favorites. It has some of my personal favorite cowboy songs on it.
And Clint Eastwood does sing them.
And yeah, it's like, it's truth in advertising right there. It's got lots of good ones. Mexicali Rose. It's got The Tumbling Tumbleweeds. Don't Fence Me In, which isn't really a cowboy song.
San Antonio Rose. A lot of songs about roses.
Lots of songs about roses. And like I mentioned earlier, like I really love the very simple arrangements. And I think Clint Eastwood has this like super sweet sounding voice. It's like so smooth and effortless. It's like, I think it's like, it's definitely Hollywood cowboy. It's not like the, it's not like a grizzled cowboy yet.
I mean, the thing that he's missing comparing this to some other, you know, sort of cowboy artists is the yodeling aspect.
Yeah, there's no yodeling.
But I don't know. I mean, I would say overall it's very good. I mean, I guess my question is, do you think that we're grading this on a curve?
Why? Because it's Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
I'm not even a personal fan of Clint Eastwood exactly. Like,
I mean, I think it's like, it's good because you think Clint Eastwood and it's like, you don't think of him as a musical artist, and then you hear it and you're kind of like, huh, that wasn't what I was expecting. So I feel like he, you know, at least in my mind, he gets credit for like just not being straight up terrible, especially the way that he talks now. You know, it's like his voice is a lot better than you would expect given the way he talks now.
Yeah, we'll have to listen to that 1997 recording and see like if it is, if he still has the same smooth singing voice. But like, you know, listening to the other recordings of the Bouquet of Roses, the Eddie Arnold version, I think Clint Eastwood puts more feeling into that song than Eddie Arnold does. And I would say same for The Last Roundup, even though I would say Gene Autry's version is good and it has the yodeling. But I think Clint Eastwood has like, I think he has like some tenderness to his voice that is lacking in some other cowboy singers.
I think it's going to be a hard sell to tell me that you think that he is just straight up better than, I mean, it's like, you know, it's a different interpretation.
It's a different interpretation.
And there's maybe pluses to it. But I think Eddie Arnold, I listened to it and I was like, oh, wow, that's just a much better musical artist. That was my impression anyway. Oh,
well, perhaps, but I preferred Clint Eastwood's rendition of Bouquet of Roses personally.
And in terms of actors with unexpected singing careers, I think that George Chakiris is a much finer example.
But George Chakiris is a trained, like classically trained musician though.
Well, okay. He makes a better musical artist.
Clint Eastwood. But not surprising.
See, it sounds like you're creating him on a curve. He gets credit because he doesn't have any training. It's like, well, he didn't totally suck. Therefore, it's really good.
Okay, maybe I'm grading Clint Eastwood on a curve, but I still stand by my assessment.
I mean, I like this album too. You know, it's something that I had listened to before. You know, I liked it enough to buy it on LP, but, you know, I mean, it is a bit of a novelty. And it is just a bit of a curiosity, I think. But, I mean, I think the only reason it got a re-release was because it's Clint Eastwood.
Well, that's probably true. Oh, I forgot to mention when we were talking about what this album looks like is that this re-release, it has, like, the colored vinyl, which, as we all know, I'm a huge fan of the colored vinyl. And it is in this, like, cowboy leather brown. Approved.
It's not in maggot brain sort of...
Maggot color? No.
Okay.
Cowboy leather is fine.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that this album is definitely worth checking out. Something to listen to. Something to, you know, maybe impress your friends with or something. I don't know. Break it out at a party when you're having some Western themed party.
That sounds good.
I don't know. And it's, you know, it's, I think, pretty widely available, being that Clint Eastwood is Clint Eastwood. But don't get confused. There's another, I think, like Jamaican artist or something named Clint Eastwood.
Oh, really? Yeah. That has a cowboy album?
No, it's like completely different. But for some reason, it seems like a lot of music services don't realize that they're two different Clint Eastwoods. Mm-hmm. And so you'll search for Clint Eastwood and it'll be like this Jamaican artist stuff and then cowboy favorites mixed in there. So anyway, for more information, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/60. As always, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at livinginhifi. And for longer correspondence, you can email us at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week, what did we decide?
I think we're going to do more Western music, aren't we?
I think that's true. So stay tuned for that. We're now in the mood and...
we're just going to run with it. Yeah. We're just going to get along with it.
Little doggies. All right. See you next time. Thanks for listening.